We are in our sixth lesson of the seven-week series, Jesus Changes Everything. And again, opinions, people's opinions vary on who he is, but one thing that people cannot deny is that he does change everything. If you give him a try, he will change everything in your life. All things become new. So we've had five lessons so far. Jesus calls. Following Jesus is an adventure, and everybody is invited to participate. Jesus teaches. Following Jesus' teaching leads to a fruitful life. Jesus rules. We can trust him in the storm. Jesus saves. He was born to bring us into a relationship with God. Last week, Jesus heals. He can bring healing to our lives in all areas. And then this week, Jesus provides. He cares for and meets the needs, all of the needs in our lives. Adam mentioned it in open assembly. A lot of people relegate Jesus just to the spiritual side of things, like the spiritual life exists apart from everything else. And we know that's not true. Our spiritual life is part of us. I mean, we have a spiritual life, we have a physical life, we have an emotional life, but we're one. And what happens in one area of our life affects all areas of our life. But Jesus just doesn't deal with us in the spiritual side of our life. He deals with us in every area of our life. Of course, he's concerned about the spiritual. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to live by this book. But he's also concerned about our physical life. And he knows what we need. And he will provide those needs. And as he does that to us, he wants us to be a conduit to help him meet the needs of others. So two parts of the lesson this morning. Jesus knows our needs and has compassion. And then the second one is that Jesus provides for all of our needs. So we're in Mark, again, back in Mark this morning, chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. This is the story of the feeding of the, Adam said thousands. We usually think about it of the feeding of the 5,000 because there were 5,000 men there. But we'll talk about that word men in just a moment. It actually doesn't mean like it does sometimes in the Bible. Human beings, it actually means males. And so there were 5,000 men there that day. And in the book of Matthew, it actually has the phrase, besides women and children. And so there's a very good possibility there was 12 to 15,000 people there that day that Jesus fed. And so it's one of the miracles that are recorded in the gospel, but this miracle is unique in that all four gospels record this miracle. None of the other miracles of Christ is reported in all four gospels except this one. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about what happened this day by the seaside when Jesus fed this crowd. And again, it was a miracle, but like all his miracles, it was intended to teach a lesson, a truth about who Jesus was. He did it to remind the people that day and to remind us that he is our shepherd. He knows all our needs. He has compassion for us, and he provides for us And just what we need, just at the time we need it. I've often told people, Jesus is not going to give us what we need before we need it, because we'll waste it. He knows what kind of people we are. We'll waste it. And so he says, I'll give you what you need, but I'll give it to you just in time. Just when you need it, I'll give it to you. So we start in Mark chapter 6 this morning, verses 34 through 37, where the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go out into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? So let me just set the stage. The people, as we've talked about before, thronged Jesus everywhere he went. Some of them were curious, just curious. They wanted to see what it was that was drawing the big crowds. Some came for healing, either for themselves or for others that they loved. Some were actually interested in what he was going to say. The Bible says that he taught with an authority that the people had not seen. And so he taught like he had authority from heaven. And he taught like that. And so earlier in chapter 6, Jesus sent the disciples out. He said, I want you to go preach. I want you to go teach. I want you to go heal the sick. I want you to go cast out demons. Everything that they had seen him done, he sent them out to do those same things. They came back. They were eager to report to Jesus what they had taught, who they had healed, the demons that they had cast out. But it was hard to do so because there was such a throng of people around him. In fact, because there was such a throng of people around him, it was hard for them to even eat or just to rest any at all. And so Jesus said, hey, look, let's get in a boat. Let's go over to the other side of the sea. Let's find a place where we can be by ourselves for just a little bit so that we can enjoy a meal together and we can get some rest and relaxation. And so they get into a boat. They begin to sail across the sea, but their plan, Jesus' plan, didn't work because the people that were thronged around him saw him get into the boat. They figured out where he was going, and the Bible says they ran around the shore of the lake, and they were there when the boat landed. So in verse 34, where we started, when it says when Jesus came out, when he came out of the boat, in other words, when they landed and he got out, he saw much people. Okay? Now, that word saw, of course, we know it means to perceive with our eyes. But it also means to have regard for, to cherish, or to pay attention to. So when Jesus got out of the ship, he saw. I mean, he just didn't see them with his eyes. He looked at them and perceived that they were a people that had a need. And so he had compassion on them. Now, in the Greek, the word compassion is a single word, just one, and it means to have the bowels yearn. To have the bowels yearn. Now, when we say that today, it doesn't mean much. But back in that day, the bowels, people thought, were the center of love and emotions. It would be like us saying, hey, I feel for somebody with all my heart. We use the metaphor of heart as the center of our emotion, the center of our love. And so we would say when Jesus saw them, he had compassion, or he loved them and had pity on them with all his heart toward them. Okay? Now again, the words are important. In the Greek, if you look at the word them, it not only means the crowd, it means the individuals that made up the crowd. So when Jesus got off the boat, he saw the people that were there. He didn't just see them as a crowd. He saw them as individuals. He saw them with their individual needs, and he had compassion on them. Now, just to talk about compassion a little bit more. The English word compassion comes from a Latin word, okay? It means with passion or feeling to the point of suffering. So when we have compassion on somebody, we see the trouble or the hurt that they have so much so that we hurt with them. Okay? You that are parents or grandparents, when your child gets sick or when your grandchild gets sick, you have this kind of compassion on them. You literally hurt with them. I've heard many grandparents say, I wish I could take that hurt for them. I wish I could make them stop hurting and I could just take the hurt in my body. Well, that's how Jesus had compassion on these people. His feeling for them was so much that he hurt with them. Okay? He hurt with them. And it didn't just stop at feelings. That the Latin word, or the word that our English word compassion comes from, the Latin, includes the decision and the determination to do something to help. Okay? And so when the Bible says that Jesus saw them, again, the crowd plus the individuals, he had compassion. He saw their hurt, he hurt with them. So much so that he was determined to do something to help that hurt, to help them. Okay? Because he saw them as sheep having, as sheep not having a shepherd. Okay? Now, that's an analogy that goes back to the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible talks about civil leaders and religious leaders that were supposed to take care of the people underneath them, okay? But they weren't. In fact, instead of taking care of the people that were under their rule or under their care as a religious leader, they were actually taking advantage of them. They were actually profiting from the people that they were supposed to be serving. And in that passage in the book of Ezekiel, God compared those leaders, both civil and religious, to shepherds that didn't take care of their flock. And he condemned them. He said, hey, that's not what a shepherd is supposed to do. A shepherd is supposed to love and care for his sheep. He's supposed to find them a place to eat. He's supposed to find them a place to drink. He's supposed to find them a place of protection from their enemies. We know Jesus as our good shepherd, as our great shepherd. I mean, that's how the Bible refers to him. Peter, who many think told Jesus' story to Mark, wrote about Christ in the book that he authored as the chief shepherd. The writer of Hebrews called him the great shepherd of the sheep. And so when Jesus saw these people, he saw them as sheep that didn't have anybody to take care of them. He saw them like the sheep that's mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, who their religious leaders had ignored. In fact, Jesus knew what was going on in his day. The religious leaders in his day had set the standard of righteousness so high based on traditions and things that they had come up with that no common person could meet those standards. And so again, they weren't taking care of the folks that they were supposed to take care of. And Jesus said, that's why he had compassion on them. He said, I see them as sheep just wandering. I see them as sheep with nobody to take care of them. Nobody to lead them to the still waters. Nobody to lead them to the green pastures. Nobody to protect them from the enemies. And so he had compassion on them. And then the Bible says he began to teach them many things. Okay? He began to teach. Again, we don't know what he taught. Mark doesn't tell us what he taught. But in all probability, he taught them what they needed to know about God. He taught them what they needed to know about God's kingdom. He taught them how to get in to God's kingdom, how to live in God's kingdom. And so he provided the spiritual food, the teaching that they weren't getting anyplace else. And so again, out of his heart of compassion, out of feeling their hurt, out of wanting to help that hurt, he began to tell them about God and about God's kingdom, about how they could get in, about how they could live in that kingdom. Now, the teaching that he did, it wasn't a brief session, okay? Don't know what time he started, but we know that the Bible tells us there in verse 35 that the day was far spent. So in other words, it was beginning to get late. Now, don't know what role the disciples had played up to this point. Okay, I don't know if they were just part of the crowd and they listened, or if Jesus had them do something, you know, to sort of manage the crowd. But when the day was far spent, they, instead of being learners along with the crowd, they became Jesus' advisors. They came up to Jesus as he finished teaching and said, hey, this is a desert place. Now, not talking about a dry, arid place that we might think about when we say the word desert, but what they were talking about was this was a lonely place. This was a place in the wilderness. Now, we're going to find out later that he had them sit down on green grass. So it wasn't a desert, but it was a place where it wasn't close to any town. It wasn't close to any village. It was deserted. And so they said, hey, now the time is far past. In other words, it's getting late in the day. And so they said to Jesus in verse 36, send them away. Send the crowd away. Now, they had good intentions. Okay? They weren't just trying to get rid of the crowd. What they were saying is, hey, it's late in the day. People are getting hungry. There's no place around here for them to eat. Just go ahead and send them away, and they can go into the villages and the towns as they make their way home, and they can buy themselves some bread, something to eat. The vast majority of the folks that were there had brought nothing to eat. In fact, we only know about one. And that crowd, again, could have been 12 to 15,000. We only know about one that brought their lunch, and that was a little boy that Andrew found. But again, if you think about how the crowd gathered, you could understand why nobody else had a lunch. I mean, these people were with Jesus. They saw Jesus get into a boat, began to cross the lake. They said, we're going to go to where we think he's going to end up. And so they ran around the lake to get to that point. And as they ran through different villages and towns along the way, people would see them in a hurry. And they said, where are you going? They said, well, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to the place where he's going to land the boat. We're going to go hear him teach and hear him preach. And the people from the town said, okay, we'll go with you. So instead of going home and packing a lunch, they just joined in the rush to get to where Jesus was. And as a result, when it came to the end of the day, they didn't have anything to eat. And so the disciples said, okay, just send them away. Let them go into the towns and the villages. They have nothing to eat. Let them go buy themselves something to eat. Now, again, if there were indeed 15,000 people there, send them into a little village. I mean, even the bigger towns around the lake, the Sea of Capernaum, the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum was one of the bigger cities, but even the bigger cities around the Sea of Galilee, like Capernaum, probably only had 25,000 people in it. Not 25,000, 2,500 people in it. So can you imagine the little cafes or restaurants in a town of 2,500, where 15,000 people descended on that town to try to get something to eat? I went into McDonald's last night to buy the gift cards for this morning, and there was a sign on one of the registers that said, we are out of the country fried chicken. So we can't, is that what they call it, Patty? You like them, country fried? What's those chicken sandwiches you like? Oh, yeah, buttermilk. Thank you. You like them too, Brother Wayne? Yeah. We are out of the buttermilk chicken. Come back tomorrow. And I thought to myself, well, I've never seen a sign like that. They must have had a big rush. I know Patty didn't go. Maybe you went yesterday, Brother Wayne. but they had apparently a big rush on buttermilk chicken, and they were out of it. So can you imagine, little town of 2,500 people, here's 15,000 people descending on that town wanting to buy something to eat. I mean, even the disciples who thought they were giving Jesus a pretty good suggestion hadn't thought through what they were suggesting. I mean, there was probably no little cafe or restaurant, even if they had them back then, that could feed that size of crowd. Now, maybe the disciples were getting hungry. Maybe they were getting tired. I mean, maybe they were frustrated. We're supposed to be on a little trip to rest and relax. We're supposed to be by ourselves. And here we are again in the middle of a large crowd, and they come to Jesus, and they said, hey, send the people away so they can go buy food. And so when he says to them, you feed them, I think it sort of just took them aback. You want me to send them away? Well, you go ahead and take care of it. You go ahead and feed them, give them something to eat. And when they answered Jesus, you can feel a little bit of disrespect in their answer. They said, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, that word penny worth, it means the same thing as a denarii. A denarii was the most common silver coin used in the Roman Empire. It was the standard pay for a day's labor. Okay? So if you worked a day in the fields back in that day, you were paid a denarii. And so the disciples are saying, You want us to feed them? It's going to take 200 days worth of labor, the wages for 200 days worth of labor, to buy enough food to give everybody a little bit. What they were saying is, hey, we don't have that kind of money. And even if we have the money, where do you think we could go to buy the food for this many people? I mean, there's not a Sam's close. There's not a Costco's close. So there's, even if we had the money, where could we go to buy the food? And if there was a place to go buy the food, how are we going to get it back here to feed all these people? I mean, it's not like they had a convoy of trucks or a bunch of donkeys that they could put it on. And so the disciples said, are you kidding me? Are you kidding us? You want us to, and I mean, it doesn't say that, but this is what they were saying. Are you kidding us? You want us to feed them? We don't have the money. There's not a place to buy the food, and we got no way to get it back, even if we had the money and there was a place to buy it. Now, Jesus knew all that. He knew they didn't have the money. He knew there wasn't a place to buy that much food. He knew they didn't have a way to get it back. But he was trying to teach them a lesson. You see, they were focused on what they did not have. Jesus said, I want you to focus on me and what you have in me. So many times we do the same thing as the disciples. We focus on what we don't have and we wring our hands and we get the Eeyore complex. Woe is me. There's nobody to help. There's no way out of this situation. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Don't focus on your need. Focus on the one that can meet your need. Jesus was about to show them that he could take a little bit and do a lot with it. He was about to show them that when they couldn't provide what they needed, he could. Okay? And his ability to provide our needs is not dependent on us or anybody else having sufficient resources. His ability to meet our needs is dependent on who he is. Okay? Adam quoted a little chorus we sing sometimes. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. Well, to feed this crowd, Jesus didn't need the cattle on 1,000 hills. He didn't need a bakery to bake all the bread. All he needed, as we're going to find out, is five little loaves. I mean, not loaves of bread as we think about it, but five little flat, small rolls and two little pieces of fish. And Jesus was going to take that, work a miracle, and feed every single person in that crowd. Let's read about it. Verses 38 through 44. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, five and two fishes. And he commanded them to make all set down by companies upon the green grass. And they set down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. All right, so Jesus said, hey, you feed them. He said to his disciples, you feed them. And his disciple says, how can we? We don't have the money. We don't have a place to buy the food. We don't have a way to get the food here. So Jesus said, well, go find out what we got. Go find out how much food is in the crowd. How many loaves are there? Go and see. Again, the vast majority of the people brought nothing. So as the disciples went around and surveyed the crowd, they were looking for lunches. We're going to talk about the baskets in a minute. Back in that day, every Jew carried a little basket. It was part of their normal attire. In that basket, they usually packed a light lunch and then the odds and ends that they might need for a day. Well, as they looked for the little baskets with food in the baskets, they didn't see any. Because again, the people weren't planning on coming. They just sort of joined the crowd as they came. They only found one little boy who had this little basket. And again, Andrew found him. And so all the other disciples came back and they all shook their heads, said, hey, there's no food in the crowd. Andrew said, well, there's this one little boy. He's got a little lunch. And they came back and they told Jesus, well, we have five loaves. And, by the way, he also has two fishes. Now, the loaf was a mixture of flour and water. It was baked into a little round or oblong piece of bread. It was about as thick as your thumb, okay? So we might think of it as a small dinner roll today, okay? Or a small biscuit. I mean, it wasn't a big loaf of bread like we think about when we think of the word loaf. And the fishes were probably not complete fishes, but just two small dried pieces of fish that probably this little boy's mom had packed for him, I mean, so that he could have something to eat that day. So Jesus said, okay. And I said, I got something else for you to do. I want you to go make everybody sit down by companies upon the green grass. Again, not a suggestion, but an order to his disciples. Companies, the word companies mean groups. Now, only Mark mentions the green grass, okay? Now, Mark doesn't mention the little boy with the lunch. Only John does that. So even though the miracle, the story is in four different Gospels, they all tell different things about it. So again, Mark doesn't mention the little boy with the lunch, but John does. John and Luke and Matthew doesn't mention that there was green grass for the people to sit down, but Mark does. So he said, hey, I want you to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And again, the disciples, I mean, you know, if you and I might have been there, we might say, well, why are we doing this? I mean, they didn't know what he was about to do. They had no idea. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him, raise Jairus' daughter. They knew that they'd seen him heal the sick. They'd seen him cast out devils. They'd seen him control the storm, tell a storm. But they'd never seen him do what he was about to do. So they had no idea what he was about to do. So they found out how much bread was in the crowd. He said, make everybody sit down in different groups. And so they sat down, verse 40 says, they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Now the word rank means a plot of ground or a garden bed, okay? But the word came to mean an arrangement such as, you know, flowers in a row or flowers in a bed, okay? So they sat down by arrangements of hundreds and fifties. Now, we don't know why Jesus, I don't know if Jesus told them or if the disciples just decided themselves to set them in groups of hundreds and fifties. Don't know why they chose those numbers. It does remind us of what Moses did in Exodus chapter 18. Remember, his father-in-law, Jethro, had come to visit him. He saw Moses stand before the people all day, you know, deciding the different things for them. And Jethro came to him and said, hey, you're going to wear yourself out. What you need to do is divide these people into groups, hundreds, fifties, and he also included tens, and set people to rule over those groups of 50, 100, 50, and 10. Let them decide the simple stuff, and if anybody brings a hard case to them, they can bring them to you. They can bring those cases to you. And so that's what Moses did. He followed his father's law instruction. He divided the people into different groups, set people over them. So it's sort of reminiscent of what Moses did. So they divided the people into different groups, hundreds and fifties. Now, again, stop and think about it. When we get to the end of the story, and Mark tells us there were 5,000 men there, by dividing them into these groups, it would have been easier to count. And by dividing them into these groups, it would have been easier to feed. Can you imagine trying to feed one group of 15,000 people? I mean, it would be mass chaos. But if you've got a group of 50 here, 100 here, 100 here, I mean, there'd be a lot of groups. But it made it a lot easier to distribute the food once Jesus provided it. So he had the disciples organize the crowd into these smaller groups. Then he turned his attention back to the five loaves and the two fishes. The implication is that he took them in his hand, okay? Maybe he raised them up like this. The Bible says he looked up to heaven. Now again, normally when people pray, they don't look up, they look down as an act of humility. Okay, they're approaching God and they do that in a humble way, so they bow their heads. But Jesus looked up to heaven, and the Bible says he blessed. So he blessed the fish and he blessed the loaves. And again, that word blessed means to pray that God will use a thing or bless a thing to one's use. And so God, what Jesus was asking God to do was to bless this food as he used it to feed this group of people. And then the Bible says, and gave them to his disciples, gave them the fish and the loaves to set before them. So he prayed, then he began to break the bread. Okay? He gave it to his disciples. I don't know if they pulled out some baskets at that point to make it easier to pass out. Probably did. Don't know. But he began to break the bread. And so, you know, he had 12 guys. And so I don't know if two of them took a group at a time, but they began to serve the different groups of people that were sitting there. Now, the tenses in the verbs used in that verse are different. The word break, as he break the loaf, talks about an instantaneous act. So he break. The word gave implies a continuous act. So Jesus break, okay? And the people and the disciples begin to pass out the loaves to the people. And they kept passing it out. And they kept passing it out. And they kept passing it out. He did the same thing with the fish, okay? He broke the fish and passed that out to the disciples. And they set that bread and those fish before the people. Again, a continuous action. So they kept serving. Again, how long did it take 12 men to serve 12 to 15,000 people? It took a while, okay? It didn't happen fast. I mean, even though Jesus had them organized, there were some logistics. They had to move the food from where Jesus was to where the crowd was, okay? And so they did that. And the Bible says in verse 42, and they did all eat and were filled. Okay? So each person just didn't get a little piece of bread and a little piece of fish. Okay? They got all they wanted. They got enough to fill themselves up. They got enough to satisfy their hunger. They got enough to where they didn't want any more to eat when they got done. Now, don't know if the disciples ate as they were passing out the food or if they ate when they got everybody served, but everybody that day in that crowd, again, 12 to 15,000 people, got all they wanted. I mean, it would be like going to a smorgasbord, you know, paying one price and getting as much as you want. And, you know, most people, when they go to a smorgasbord, they're like Brother Paul. They want to get Weeda's money's worth. Okay, and so he'll eat and eat. That's an inside joke if you don't know what I'm talking about. Weeda carries the money in that family. Paul mooches it when he needs some. But when we go to a smorgasbord, we like to get our money's worth, and so we eat and eat and eat, most to the point where we're beyond full. Okay, but on this particular day, everybody got what they wanted to fill themselves up. So after they got done, Jesus said, well, gather up the scraps. Okay. And so the Bible says the disciples went around, they gathered up the leftover bread and the leftover fish, and they filled 12 baskets. Now again, when I was a kid, I pictured these baskets as, you know, great big heaping baskets that they had to carry on their shoulder, and they were just overflowing with food. But again, if you stop and think about it, that if they each had a little basket that they carry a small lunch in, maybe that's all they had left over. I believe that Jesus teaches us to be good stewards. I believe he knew how much food it would take to feed these people. I don't believe they had a heap of food left over. They had enough to fill 12 little baskets. Now, people look for the symbolism in the 12. You know, whether there's 12 tribes of Israel and God fed them in the wilderness. I sort of think that they had 12 little baskets of food left, so each one of the disciples would have lunch tomorrow, okay? Or maybe they hadn't eaten when they served the people, and there was enough left over for them, 12 baskets, so that when the crowd dispersed, the disciples themselves could eat, okay? So they gathered up the leftovers, and again, into these little baskets. And verse 44, the last verse in our lesson this morning, and it's sort of a by-the-way statement. It's sort of something that Mark added at the end. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And again, that word men doesn't mean people like the word does sometimes when it's used in the Bible. It means males. So there were 5,000 men in that crowd. Again, Matthew adds the phrase, besides the women and the children. And if it was like any other good Baptist crowd, there was probably twice as many women and children as there were men. And so that's why people think there were probably 15,000 people there in total. Now, a lot of people say, this is impossible. How can we believe this miracle? They try to explain it away. They say, hey, there were others in the crowd that had lunch like that little boy did. And so Jesus just encouraged everybody to share their lunch and everybody had enough to eat. Other people say, well, the disciples brought food and they fed the crowd. And again, if you listen to the explanations, they're just as hard to believe as believing the miracle. I mean, you know, the disciples couldn't bring that much food to feed 15,000 people. And I don't believe there was enough food in the crowd to feed 15,000 people. I mean, the disciples looked and they could only find the lunch. Some people say, well, the number was exaggerated. There couldn't have been that many people. He couldn't have fed that many people with just 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes. But people that don't accept the miracle and try to explain it away don't understand, nor do they accept who Jesus was. If he could, on the fifth day of creation, I think it was the fifth day of creation, maybe the sixth day, 50, I think it was the fifth day. If on the fifth day of creation, he could create grain fields, and on the fifth day of creation, I think it was the fifth day of creation, he could create every fish in the sea. I mean, and Jesus did that, the Word, he did that. Nothing was created without him. All things were made by him. If he could speak into existence grain fields, if he could speak into existence fish, don't you think he'd have the power to multiply them? I mean, huh? I mean, if he could speak and all the fish in the sea, every kind, every different fish was just made at his word. If he could speak the grain fields, I mean, you know, on the day of creation, I think he made grain fields. He just didn't make seeds and have some Adam plant them. He created grain fields so they could gather the seeds from the grain. If he could do that, he certainly had the power to take 5 little pieces of bread and 2 little fishes and multiply it and feed 15,000 people. Now again, as we finish, I want you to note there were 2 feedings that day. Adam mentioned it in the open assembly. In verse 34, he taught them many things. He fed them spiritually. He told them about the kingdom of God. He told them how to get into that kingdom. And he gave them what they needed for their souls. But because Jesus is just not concerned about the spiritual part of us, he's also concerned about the physical. And he says, well, I'm going to feed their bodies too. And so he worked a miracle. Again, recorded in all 4 Gospels. The only one that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. Where he took 5 little pieces of bread and 2 little pieces of fish and fed a great crowd. Now, again, the point of the lesson is we can trust Jesus. He changes everything. We can trust him to meet our needs. Okay? We can trust him to meet our needs. Whatever they are, he can meet them. We just need to trust him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this reminder this morning. Familiar story, but what a wonderful truth it teaches us. And I pray that we have been reminded this morning that we have a God that knows what we need. You care. You have compassion on us. And you promise to meet those needs. And I pray that we would let you change that in our lives. That we wouldn't get caught up, like Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. We wouldn't get caught up worrying about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear, where we're going to live. But that we would know that we have a Father that knows that we need all these things. And if we just seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, he said, I'll take care of all those things. You don't need to worry about them. Help us to remember that's the kind of God that we have. So thank you for this lesson. I pray now you'll go with us into the service that follows. Help us to uplift our Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.